Hey Adam,
Be fine. Hi.
we've got a neon sign.
Yeah, I know, and it's messing with the flicker on the video as well, which is
I'm gonna have to work out.
It's brilliant.
This is all right, but the viewers, we've got a neon sign there, and it's causing flicker. So we're really sorry about that.
Video problems, but I thought it was being really clever having a sign.
Well, good evening, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the episode of Think Winning Business Podcast with me, Howard Wing, and him, Adam Wing. Now, you might have noticed or may not, but on Instagram last week, we asked a few questions of what people needed help with the most or any certain topics that people need help with or they're struggling with. So we just thought we'd come on here and answer some of them questions, give a bit of direction and answer them in a way that we would do faced with the similar issues. And the issue we're going to cover today is ghosting. So many of you have asked about ghosting. So basically, you know the script. You've got an amazing website. You're doing stuff on social media. You're building your brand. You think you're doing everything right. You get an inquiry from a couple and you send over all your price and all your details. Think you've done some structured, the perfect email, only to hear nothing back. And then it's like, shit, what do I do? Do I have to keep bugging them? What's the process? Why they not got back to me? I've spent all this time on doing everything perfect. I've just not heard back from my couples. So that is going to be the topic today. I'm going to break down the reasons why people do ghost you. What are the reasons for it? And hopefully a few fixes to overcome those little issues.
And apparently I'm just going to sit here silently and not say a word.
Well, I'm going to say, right, I've had this before. I'm sure you've had it many times.
Oh, I think you're a great person to talk on this topic because you're brilliant at ghosting. Every time I message you, days for a reply.
No, you're not a wedding client, are you?
No, I get it. And I've been there loads of times recently.
Don't ghost shit.
Well,
leave it longer than 24 hours.
You always reply, but it's normally within a couple of days, which is, from a professional capacity, is fine. But when I just need a quick, like, Howard, I need you.
But
this is the problem, I think, in
today's
world.
Well, this is one of the fixes, isn't it, for that? Because you should, if you need me there and then, you need to ring me.
Yeah.
This could be one of the fixes
we talk about. In today's world of instant, I think the brides and grooms are growing up, Gen Z, is it, that we're in? And they're so used to getting DMs and instant replies that I think, more than ever, waiting a day or two for, and I bet you've had this, I've had an email inquiry at 11:30 at night, 11:45, and I've been asleep or I've got it and I've thought, I'll reply to that in the morning, great. And then the next day, if you've not replied by lunchtime, I'm then getting an Instagram, did you get me email? Why haven't you replied yet? And it's like, because people just want the reply.
But isn't it funny? Because then you do reply with all your price and everything and then they ghost you.
Yeah.
It's like, what? How the hell do we get around it? I want to kick off, Adam. I think we should get straight into the content here. And I'm going to say, you know, what are the reasons why people are going to ghost you? And I've got a bit of a set of answers to that question. So number one, your email reply wasn't clear enough. That's one. Your reply had no call to action. You didn't reply including questions, which is something we're going to talk about in a little while. Your reply was too corporate and impersonal. You replied too late. And you applied no professional signature or social links where people can find out about you a bit further. And you only replied with a return email and you didn't use any other form of communication. That's your start. Six or eight or something?
Well, I'm going to add the other obvious one is that your email never got to them, landed in spam, junk, whatever, it's funny because that it obviously does happen. And the amount of times I've been ghosted and gone, oh, and I've just sat there going, it must have gone to the spam. Why have I not heard back? It must have gone to the spam. Most of the time it doesn't.
Well, that last one I said there about you only replied with a return email and just left it and did nothing.
Yeah.
And you're leading into that perfectly because I think we can talk about that. So I would genuinely always follow up with either on Instagram or Facebook, find the couple, WhatsApp, because you've got their phone number as well, so you can send them a WhatsApp. As soon as you send your email, I always follow up, and this is good practice to say, hi, just to let you know, thank you so much for your email inquiry. I've sent you a reply. I wanted to check here just to see if it's not landed in your junk box and you received it okay.
Yeah. Let's go back a step, because you said, oh, you've got their phone number, you can WhatsApp them. This is only if in your contact form on your website, you have a field that says phone number, and it's mandatory because you need that information so that you can then.
Well, lesson number
you
one.
Could try and find them on Facebook and Instagram, but if you can't, or they're private or whatever, because you know, oftentimes, like if you're dealing with teachers, impossible to find online because they've hidden the names. So
that's the lesson, isn't it? Number one,
you need the phone number so that then you can. And I do this as a practice because I think we had James Jebson on, spoke about this on the pod last year. I email them and then I go, I get the number, put it into WhatsApp, and I say, I've emailed you, but I'm just conscious that sometimes my email lands in junk. So I just thought I'd follow up in here to let you know I've replied. And if you can't find my email, it will be in your junk.
Yeah.
Let me know.
So I think a really good form of practice is if you get a DM and it's an inquiry through Facebook or Instagram or your socials, always filter that inquiry back through your website, through your contact form, because then you've got a head start. You know the name, you know the venue, you know what date the wedding is. You've got their phone number. You've got obviously their email address on there. You've got a little bit of detail where you can communicate with them on different platforms. But, and this is a really good one, you can actually get data so you can stalk them a bit better as well.
Yeah. But if they DM you straight for Instagram, then you've already got that point of contact and you know that there's no chance of it not getting to them. Like if you reply, it's going to go through because it's on Instagram, and you can even tell when they've seen it after time, which is even more of a killer when you get left on scene and there's no reply and it's sad.
didn't even see it.
But that's assuming, so all you can do to mitigate the spam thing is follow up with a message, and even then they don't reply always to the WhatsApp message, so then you've definitely been ghosted or something else has happened. The best case scenario with the best intentions, there is going to be a certain amount of spamming because, like you say, probably the main reason is it's price and they're just fishing for prices. They've emailed 10 different people and you're just never going to hear back. They see the price and go, no. Nope.
Well, they've not got there yet. So that starting point, that starting lesson is really filter all of your inquiries back through your contact page on your website, whether it's come from a DM or somewhere else, Facebook or a direct message. Filter that inquiry back through your contact page.
Yeah.
And then when you've replied through that contact page inquiry, then you can follow up either on Instagram where they left you the original message, or even better, if you can get onto WhatsApp. Because WhatsApp, and I know James Jebson mentioned it on his podcast. Go and watch that one, guys. It's brilliant. Where it's so much more personal, isn't it? And it's a different type of language on WhatsApp than what it is through your email, even what it is sometimes through Instagram. It's more personal.
Oh, you can spam them with like 5 messages one after the other. You can use emojis. It's much more casual. And I think because it's more casual and intimate, I guess, the brides, oftentimes, like if they do reply, then you're back and forth a few times and, you know, it's
easier on WhatsApp, isn't it?
You can send them links that easy and they can reply straight away and you can send gifts and have start that banter and that relationship.
All right, cool. So that's the first stage. Then you've sent all your stuff through, you've done that little follow-up communication, still get ghosted.
Yeah. It depends how you reply, doesn't it? So the inquirer, and you've got all the info, you've had a little look at the venue, you've stalked them a little bit, and then it depends, and I suppose this will be different for every discipline. Like for me, video, I might reply differently to how you reply, depending on what you do. But I think the way in which you reply is going to have an effect. If you just... I've always been a big advocate for this. If you just go back with a copy and paste reply, hi, I'm available. Thanks for your message. Here's my prices. Done. You've not left them any reason to get back to you.
Yeah.
You've just sent them your prices and all the info. So they've got what they need out of you. Whereas, my email starts with, hi, thanks for getting in touch. I'm available. My prices start from this, but it would be great to get on the phone, chat further. Da, 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 da. So I give them a starting price and then I try and get them on the phone or a meeting. And as you said before, the call to actions, I ask them questions. If I've been to the venue, I'll say, I love it there. Here's a video I've shot at that venue. Are you having your ceremony in this room or this room? And if I've not been to the venue, I would Google it and try and find out a bit more about it. And I'd ask them things like just general questions like how many guests are you having, who else have you booked for your day, what have you got going on in the evening, like where are you getting ready in the morning. Just there's loads of questions depending on the type of service that you do that you can ask that are relevant. Like for me, where are you getting ready in the morning is quite relevant because I need to be at bride prep. I don't know how you do it with singing.
Well, what I would do, I always like to try and form some form of conversation even before I've given any prices away. So I might reply to that inquiry,
then, isn't it?
And say, because obviously I know the venue because they put it on the contact form, and I know the date of the wedding. So there's two questions that you can't ask because you've already know that answer. But yeah. I always follow up with, or try and think of other questions you can ask that are relevant even before you've given a price. So for me, it's like, brilliant. I just need to double check the restrictions at your venue before, obviously. And I usually say something like, when I get home, I'm going to give you a proper reply. But just for now, quickly, I've noticed that venue. I've not worked there before. Can you let him know if you've got any restrictions via the sound?
Yeah.
And then I also say, oh, just a quick one, have you seen me perform before? So then I've got a little bit of conversation going. They're going to reply, we saw you at a friend's wedding, or my friend saw you, bloody blah. The venue's great. I've checked with them. There's no sound restrictions.
They're quite specific to singing, aren't they? To your
thing. So that's the way that I would reply it. And then I'll reply a bit later on with all the details, with my starting price. I think that's quite important.
But having a question, because then there's no doubt then that they should be replying.
Because you've had a bit of a conversation before. You've got more chance of not getting ghosted when you've left open-ended questions in your reply. And you can you could still put, depending on what service you provide, you could still put your starting price on there and then finish the email with some open-ended questions. And if they don't even reply to the open-ended questions, then they're just being rude, aren't they?
Well, yeah, and then like you will get people that are just fishing for prices. And then when you go back with a conversation or a list of questions or an email that doesn't include any info that they've asked for, i.e. the prices, they might just get, well, you know, the other five people have sent the prices, so we'll just ignore them.
Yeah.
There's no solution to ghosting.
What I think is a really good one, though, is if whatever service you do and they talk about the venue, you know what venue they're getting married at, you can reply and you can start telling them how excited you are that that's the venue they've booked. We've worked here before, and that's when you can include images or bits of video links to when you've worked at that venue. So if they can start imagining you being at their venue and you love it and you love the staff then, and if you're a photographer, this is a brilliant area for a shot. Here's an example of it.
Even if you've not been there, you can say, I've looked at your venue and I've done something similar at this other venue. Because if you've not been there, you can say, I've worked at somewhere that's very similar, another barn venue, for example, and there's a video at that. Or I've looked and I've seen this space. If you're a photographer, you could say, I've been dying to do shoot in this sort of way. Here's some examples of what I think would look good.
Always wanted to shoot there. My friend did it the other week, and I've seen some of his images, and I know exactly how to make them images amazing using this space and that space. Can't wait. I'd love to be involved. By the way, here's my starting price. Bosh. Following on from there. But like, you know what? I'm a big advocate for a meeting, always.
Yeah. I think it probably minimizes the chance of them not replying, i.e. ghosting, because they feel obliged to reply because you asked them a question. And obviously there's going to be some that will just go, I asked for pricing info and he's not giving it me, so move on. But I think if they're trying to get the info out of you and you've not been forthcoming with it and you've asked a few questions, then they'll go, oh, fair enough, I need to reply.
Yeah, they're going to come back with...
But the more that you're back and forth, the more that they're invested in you.
Yeah, true, but I don't think you should have too much back and forth. I think it's... Just make it so it's normal and it's real.
I don't want to drag it out and make it hard
work. For me, I want to know, obviously, before I'm even going to quote you, if this venue you've got any sound restrictions, for instance, because if it's a venue that I can't work at, then I can then reply and say, I'm really sorry, I can't work at your venue. Thanks for asking. Great. And then we'll just go on the way. So a little bit of back and forth, but not too much. So it's obvious that's what you're doing. But a little bit of conversation building with a couple before you've given your first prize, I think works quite well.
What about, let's go back again to the phone number thing. So if you make sure that the phone number is mandatory in your inquiry field on your website, or say you do get an Instagram inquiry, you could ask them for, you know, that info, or try and lead into that. Rather than replying to their email, you could just get on the phone to them straight away, because then they can't, like, there's no chance that an email is going to go in the spam, or they're going to get it and forget about it, because if you just ring them.
So this is like next level stuff, isn't it? And this is what we've always advocated this with our students from our course. It's the car call, isn't it? It's the car call. And one thing that I always used to do
works a treat
was, and I'm going to just go back a little bit here. if it's a wedding that I really want to work on, i.e. I know the details, they follow me, I can find them on Instagram, they look the ideal couple, it's a wedding that I really, really want to do, for me, I get on the phone. I get on the phone and I call it the car call because I say, guys, I've just got your email. I'm out driving at the minute. Don't worry, I've got my hands free on. I just want to say a big thank you for getting in contact. When I get home later, I'm going to reply, but I just want to jump on and just say a big thanks. And then you can start opening the conversation. Oh, I can see you getting married. Last month, my friend was there. Start talking about the wedding in a friendly, just a normal way. You know, it's not a selly way or anything. It's just a little chat to say, when I get home later, I'm going to reply with all my details. But for now, thanks for getting in touch. Let's talk a little bit about your wedding, blah, blah, blah. And it opens up that personalness.
Before you know it, having a 20-minute conversation and you've told them everything that they need to know. But
they've got to know you a little bit.
Journey.
Yeah, and you know what? The reason why I think this works so well, because 99% of suppliers won't do this. Mm. So if you're the one that stands out, has made an effort to actually call them, that speaks volumes. You know, it's massive.
Yeah,
it's like straight away you've created a connection with them. Even before you've given them a prize, they already like you a little bit because you've done more than all the other people that they've asked.
And that's why meetings, Zooms, phone calls, whatever you can do further than email is always going to be.
Yeah, it's about setting yourself apart, isn't it?
Best way to try and get the booking because it's people by people and you're getting to know them on a deeper level.
Yeah, it's for me, it's always what can I do that other people won't do or won't be bothered to do? And how much do I really want the book? If you really want the book in,
really shows you
need to make the effort.
Like, obviously, it's really easy to fall into a trap of being like, yeah, I love that venue. I've been there loads of times. Great. Here's my prices. But you want them to think that you really, really want to do their wedding. You want them to think you're excited about it and make them feel a bit special. So if you're going that extra mile and ringing them, the other 3-4 people we got in touch with, they I've not spoke to them. They didn't ring us.
They just left me a corporate reply. Yeah. If your couple know that you're as excited about their wedding as they are, wow, that is just,
and you know,
it's gold.
Don't fake it because it comes across. But generally, you should be not as excited as them, but you can convey that you are as excited as they are. If it's like you said, if it's a venue that you really like, or the couple look like your ideal sort of couple, then oftentimes that excitement is genuine.
Mm-hmm.
Like I speak I get on the phone to couples and I'll be like, your venue sounds, your wedding sounds like my ideal day, like sounds perfect. I do genuinely really want to do it, and then that excitement comes across because it's not forced and it's not like, oh, yeah, I'd love to do your wedding. Where is it again? Like you can't fake it, but if it's genuine, they'll come across, and then they'll really appreciate that.
And you know what? Why we should all be excited about weddings anyway, because we're going to turn up at beautiful venues with great crowds of people, doing something that we're in control of doing. We're not digging holes for a living. It's like, I'm excited. Someone's going to pay me to go there and have a bit of
wrong if you're not excited about it. But that will stand you apart when compared to the other people that just send the basic copy and paste corporate email. Already, it's like, well, you know, we've spoke to 3 people. They're all in the same sort of price bracket. They all do the same sort of style of service that we're looking for. But Adam, we already kind of know them because we spoke to them and they made us laugh, and it's just,
you know,
no brainer, isn't it?
It's like for you as a filmmaker and even photographers, I think the standard is really high, and people consistent. Are doing and consistent, and they're quite similar. And again, I go over it, but it's what things can you do that your competitors are not going to do to get the booking? And it's certainly things like getting on the phone call, creating that personal connection with your couple, you know, going on the different platforms and chatting to them in a different area where they feel more comfortable. It just shows you're making more of an effort.
The car call is, because I've even gone to the lengths where I've been at home, sat at my desk, and I've gone out in my garden so that at least when I ring them, it sounds like I am genuinely outside. So I'll be like, oh, I got your email. I'm just out at the minute. I'm away from my desk. So I will reply later, but I just thought I'd quickly say hi.
Perfect. Yeah, and if that's fairly instant as well, they're like, wow, these guys are keen. These are on it.
Yeah. Is there an argument for being too keen, like replying within the hour?
There's both ways. So I
you don't want to leave it.
Believe it or not, I used to actually leave it a little while before I replied, trying to build. In my mind, I was thinking, Well, they think, oh, he's super in demand, he's super busy, can't reply straight away. Do they want me even more now because I've just ignored him a little bit?
You're portraying yourself as super busy and like say in demand. So that maybe that makes, oh, we've not heard back from him. Like we don't want him to get booked up. And there's that element of
you're kind of ghosting them a little bit at the start makes because when you get ghosted, you really want to hear back from them.
Yeah.
But if you ghost them, is it reverse psychology?
Yeah.
So,
but then you don't know where they're at. They could really be invested in you and desperate to hear from you, or they could have.
Yeah. I'm going to go back in it and say I actually don't think that's a good thing to do now. So it depends where you are in your career, but if you're starting out and you're striving, you want to get all them bookings in, be on it, show the keenness.
It's changed for me planning my own wedding. Because as a groom on the other side of it now, when I was emailing suppliers for various different things, me and Jade would sit down on a Sunday evening and go, right, tonight's wedding planning night. We've set aside 2 or 3 hours this evening to do, let's do some wedding. So you email everyone. And then if they don't get back to you, you're like, oh, we can't.
We'll have to wait till next week. Got a bit tight for wedding
planning. Yeah. So then there's an argument there that if those people replied straight away, and this is where if you can get them on WhatsApp or something, then that's great because it's a bit more accepted that it's back and forth instantaneous.
I think this is really interesting, the fact that you've just said that you're planning your wedding, you'll sit down, you'll allocate time where you're going to work on your planning. So imagine you've pinged out 4 photographers, and while you're actually there in wedding planning mode, one of them got back to you and they followed up straight away with a WhatsApp or even rang you. You're in the moment. In the moment.
We're in that my frame of mind, and we're great. We'll spend the next hour looking at what you've sent through. Thank you. And then you can, other than the other 3 people who don't reply till the following day,
or
then
it's 2 days later.
Yeah, it's like, well, we're not going to be able to sit down to go through that again now.
I did actually like you, but to be honest, we chatted to somebody spoke to someone, and you're not going to say this, but wow, they really fit the bill, and they were dead keen, and they were dead nice. They were saying everything that we wanted to hear. And I think that's another good thing as well. If you're, you know, a photographer, you've got to be saying the things that they want to hear, you know, unobtrusive, let the day be yours, but I'm going to be there to dock,
I think people know not to just book the first person that they speak to. But if that first person does tick all the boxes, then why not?
Book it.
Yeah. Early bird and all that.
Well, it's a bit like when people choose a wedding venue as well. They might go, they might have a whole list of wedding venues to go and look at. They might go to the first one, have a brilliant wedding coordinator. They love the venue. Should we just book it? I'm a bit like that.
Our venue that we booked, it was the first one we looked at. And everything, it ticked all the boxes more or less. And
why do we need to look elsewhere?
So we did look elsewhere, but every other one we looked at, we were comparing to the first one because we already liked it and it already did everything we wanted. So it was a bit half-hearted. The rest of the research was like, well, we already liked the first one.
And you know, and this is why you need to come across really friendly and supportive and helpful for your couples. Because I had a couple who, similar scenario to you, where they went to the venue and they were like, that is the one. They went to another venue, ticked all the boxes. The wedding coordinator, the person running the wedding, wasn't very nice or very friendly and actually pissed them off a little bit. Even though they liked the venue equally, they went with the other one because the people were much more friendly and more accommodating to them and their needs. Because you can go to some venues where they are a little bit up their arses sometimes. And it's like, I don't want that. I want that nice, relaxed vibe. So the person is always key. So if you're on the phone, you're coming across friendly, you're almost becoming friends with them straight away, you're going to get the booking over somebody who might have equally as good work, but not as friendly or personable as what you are. So I think that's always a key as well.
We are getting slightly away from the ghost because that's the next step.
But it's all part of the ghost, is it? Well, they're not going to ghost you.
Get them on the phone. And then getting the booking is a separate issue for another day.
For those people that don't want to get on the phone, you can still go on WhatsApp and leave replies. You can even leave little voice notes on there.
But you've put in your notes here, you replied too late. And that is an argument. If you reply couple days later and they've already had 3 other replies and spoke to those people, then they are going to ghost you because they're like, well, we're sorted now.
Yeah, I think reply as soon as you can.
Yeah.
Because if people are in that wedding planning zone and you've missed that window.
Certainly, I think it's, you know, anything more than 24, 48 hours at a push. Like, obviously, there's times where you are out of office, you're on holiday, or you're sick or whatever, and you can't reply. And that's just the nature of the beast. And sometimes sometimes you lose out.
Yeah, well, this is why Dak Van Saxe, when we had his podcast, he was saying, you know, he's knee now. He really understands that couples need that interaction straight away with him when they inquire. He's got a team of people to do it now.
Yeah,
they
and that's not always straight not, away. But you can have CRMs, you can have, you know, automatic responses.
What I mean by that is he knows how important it is for couples to get replied to fairly quick.
Yeah,
hence he's put the team into it because he can't do it physically.
Obviously, within 24 hours is like the acceptable norm, I would say, but more so now than ever, the sooner the better. I don't think there's any sort of too soon time to reply.
I don't. I just get on it.
What do you feel about automatic responses?
What, copy and pasted responses?
You're like on a... Well, you can set up your emails or your Instagram to be like, to send an automatic...
I'm out of office.
Hi, I'm not in my office, but I've got your email. I'll get back to you. Because they really wind me up.
I hate them.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because I think I've got an instant reply. Oh, God, they're on it. Oh, no. It's
automated, yeah. And that's it. It's so disheartening.
I'll get back to you when I've got time.
I packed a load of suppliers in an Instagram post the other day. And as soon as it went live, I had about 5 DMs. And I went on them. And it's all, every supplier. Hi, thanks for your emails. I'll get back to you with that. Here's a link for the meantime. And I was just like, oh, I felt like I'd been spammed by...
Hey, I've got one of them on my Facebook that it's automatically happened. And I don't know how the hell to take it off. This is how unlucky I am.
So you get the automatic reply and then they send the genuine reply. So then you go back to them.
And it's another automatic reply. How annoying.
Yeah, so that would... That would tempt me to go somebody if I got an automatic reply.
Yeah.
Because there's CRMs. There's 17 Hat Studio Ninjas and people use these things. And they're a great way to track that your emails have gone through and keep tabs on it all.
Yeah, I think they're a brilliant thing for your admin.
Back to what we said before, if you've got an Instagram DM, you could lead them back through your website so that it goes through your CRM. So it's all organized if you use them.
Yeah.
But then... I still think, and this is why I've never used them, because another thing that I do is I will follow people up in a week, 2 weeks, however long, if I've not heard back from them, just a quick courtesy follow-up. Mm. And again, this can help with the ghosting. And you can get a CRM to do that for you, but then it is a copy and pasted, pre-templated response, whereas I like to try and personalize it so that they know that I'm talking to them and not a general... reply.
Yeah, I did this the other day actually, Adam, because I was feeling that I was getting ghosted. Did all the things that I said. It was an Instagram message and a little bit back and forth, and I sent the details, starting price and stuff, and then didn't hear anything for like a day or two. And I was in my mind, I was like, fuck this, man. I'm just gonna go and reply.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna go message them directly. So I did, I messaged them and I said, I'm just checking you got my message. And I think that's all I put. And I literally got an instant reply. Oh my God, I'm really sorry. We're on holiday at the minute. So we're just checking emails as and when. Then I felt pretty bad. I was like, no.
I was going to say, sometimes when you're feeling ghosted and you get a bit like, why haven't they replied? I'm going to chase them up. And then come back with a genuine reason.
Yeah.
I'm really sorry.
But you're right. Following up can be a good thing.
This is something that I always do, because every month I go back through my months and I keep a tally of like all the inquiries I get, how many bookings I got, and I write down all the numbers. And I like to keep that data. So at the end of every month, give or take, I'll go back through my month's worth of emails, and anything that's older than a couple of weeks or 2 or 3 weeks, I'll just follow up with like a, hi, just checking you got my email. And there's always the classic of
someone else inquired a date.
So there's that, yeah.
And that can be genuine sometimes. I've actually had that many
sometimes
times.
Sometimes I've replied to a couple the next day because someone else has inquired for the date.
Yeah.
And I always lead in with, hi, just checking in. Someone else has inquired for your date, and I didn't want to speak to them until I'd checked in with you to see if you're still interested.
And you know what I do as an extra? Really, I take a screenshot of the actual other inquiry and I block out the names so they don't know who it is. But I say
genuine,
so they know it's genuine. I don't want to think that I'm desperate for the work. I've literally had another inquiry for your date.
That's a good way to do it.
I wanted to let you know first before replying to them, let me know. And if then if you don't hear anything, then you obviously you can go and reply to.
I reply with that sometimes, even if I've not had an inquiry.
Yeah, well, you can do that. It's a little trick.
It generates a bit of urgency, and at least then you get a reply one way or another. Because then sometimes they'll say, "Oh, really sorry, we never got back to you, but we've sorted somebody."
Really sorry, you're out of our price range.
And then at least you know, which is good, because then you can not mentally move on.
Bit of advice to if you're a bride or a groom, please reply. Even if it is out your price range,
just reply.
Or any other reason, we're not going to be offended.
Yeah,
just let us know.
This is it. I think brides and grooms are like sometimes feel like maybe they don't need to, like it's not the done thing, or maybe they are like, oh, I don't want to.
Maybe they're a bit embarrassed. They don't
bad news,
but it's not anything to be embarrassed about.
Yeah. Please don't feel bad. Just reply, because then you can. You know, and you can free the date up, and some people do hold the dates for however long, don't they? But
yeah.
The follow-up thing, and someone else has inquired, just checking in, that's a great way to kind of, again, encourage.
Draw a reply. Yeah.
But I like to keep it as personalized as possible, and this goes back to the initial reply. If someone inquires with me, I'll always say, I'll mention the venue or I'll mention the location, because then they know that it isn't a copy and paste reply, and it is, you're directly talking to them. You're not just sending, "Hi, bride and groom, I'm available. Here's my prices."
Hi, bride and groom. You know when it's a properly personalized email reply, don't you?
Taking the time to reply properly and include the name and check that you've spelled everything right and the grammar's all right, and you've tried to personalize it in some way. The more information you can get, the better via your contact form, or if you just ask them on Instagram, and you can get their venue or you can get their style, and then you can really start to personalize. Oh, I love that type of wedding. Here's one I did at this venue. And it's the same when you send the follow-up. I'm just checking in. I'm just wondering if you are still interested for your wedding at... So then they know it's directed at them rather than just a general.
All right. So I just want to go on just a bit further on the email. Now, I know one of our friends who's been on the podcast, Russell Kent Nichols, he sells a product that is like a PDF form link where all your details are on this PDF link with, you can even put a video on it, all your pricing structure.
Yeah, like a pricing guide.
And now he says that, you know, this helps avoid ghosting, because you're sending something really professional and it's as a PDF and it looks mega cool. And I do think there's something for representing yourself in a real professional way. Uh-huh. This is my look, this is my style, check it out. Do you think that would avoid a ghosting?
No, I think in that case,
I think it helps.
I think what you were getting at was, if you attach a PDF, that can sometimes encourage the junk spam folder. So if you send a big long email with a big file attached as a PDF,
might go in junk.
Can sometimes lead to your junk, and that can trigger the spam thing. So the way he does it is, it's an online
PDF, link.
So it's just a link. So it
has
it's less likely to go in
Canva link, isn't it?
Yeah, he does it through
Canva. It's a Canva link, yeah. Mm-hmm. But another one of his arguments was, you know, this is makes you look mega professional, everything's slick and cool.
Yeah, I mean, the better you can portray yourself, the more likely they are to come back to you. Because
and I think that's one thing. It's why I say, when you send your email back, try and put a little bit of social proof in your even in your email reply. You know, if you've won any awards, a really good signature, I think, can help. But also have links to your social medias as well, just in case it's come directly to your website. Then people can then follow those links and then go and investigate you further. We don't want the email to be the start and stop of everything. It's like the email is the starting point, and people then going to go and find out about you. They've got links to your social media. They can get to know you a little bit more. And if you're busy on your socials, on your stories and in your reels, and you're constantly putting content out, well, they're going to follow you on that. They're going to keep seeing you. You keep flashing up on their feed. It's all the better. It's less reason for people to ghost you.
As you're saying, at the end of the day, the better your brand is, the better your profile is on social media, the better your work is, the more established the authority, winning awards, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Even a review on your email reply, a little in brackets,
if you're would be good. The top person in your field and in demand, and you know that you're generating a brand, an image where people are desperate and clamoring over themselves to get you, then you going to get ghosted less because they will email you. And if they don't hear back and they are desperate to have you because your brand's so strong, they will be Instagramming you and they will be following. And this is, it's so nice when couples do this, because I've had it where they've inquired with email and I've not got back to them for 12 hours or that day. And they follow, I just message you on Instagram because I did email you, but I'm a bit worried that, like, I know people get booked up and we really love you and we don't want to miss out. So I'm just checking that you got everything. And it's, and again, if you're a bride and groom, don't feel like this is pestery, because that just makes us feel like they really desperately want us. And it's such a, that's a nice feeling.
I think you can help create that desire.
Try and create that.
Yeah. Create that desire. So if somebody gets your email reply and then they click forward to your socials and they see all your stuff, they see your accolades, they see your images, all that kind of stuff, and they keep seeing it for 2 or 3 days, it could be building that desire. Oh god, look what they're doing, look what they've done, look at the reviews people leaving. You're building that extra desire. They're going to start to want you a little bit more. It's like when I want to say I'm going to buy something for my hobby, for instance. You know, I'm big into fishing. There might be 2 fishing rods. Do the similar-ish thing. That one's a bit more expensive, slightly better because it's got different stuff. And I keep seeing videos of this one that's miles better. I'm going to be steering always to that because it's flashing up. Thing is, using this new, that's the rod I wanted. Oh, I know it's another 100 quid. Oh, I've got to have it. Same with a couple seeing you with something. It's like, that's Adam again. Oh, look what they're saying about him. We've just got to have this guy. I know it's a bit more expensive, but...
That's the idea.
Obviously, that makes sense. Using everyone has the fishing rod analogy, maybe
it's not. Well, no, it's just everyone has a budget and everyone has a, you know, price obviously does factor in. But if you can create that brand and that aspiration, I think, you know, you're always going to get people that will just price on.
Yeah. I've done videos before where I think probably most of the budget's gone on me, where not particularly they're in that frame where they've got a massive budget for certain things. They've got a limited budget,
yeah.
But it's where they put it, and it becomes really important. They were going to go that extra mile, I think, if you've managed to create that desire with them.
Well, it's, you're selling the experience, aren't you? Like your fishing rod thing. The more videos and the, well, let's use like Ferrari for example.
Let's use something cooler than a fishing rod. Well,
nobody's getting in a Ferrari and test driving it and asking about the price, are they?
No.
And that's the classic.
No.
Because it's Ferrari and they've got the brand and you get in and it feels
They already know they want that.
Yeah. And it's like when you try on clothes. You try on and it fits so good and you look in the mirror and you look so good. It doesn't matter. What, like the price is kind of, and you see the price tag and you're, but I've already fallen in love with it. Like I need it.
We need to.
Because you've already tried it on. Yeah. So if you can get that experience across them and you can make them picture you on their wedding day, then they hear the price, the emotional response overrides the logic of.
Well,
the...
I remember seeing this or hearing this a while ago on a CD many years ago, and it was saying
Tony Robbins, wasn't it?
Yeah, and was it not the motorbike salesman? And this, and you can talk to them all day about the details about the bike. It's 0 to 60 and it's fuel consumption. I said no, get them on the bike and go for a ride and let them feel that wind through the hair. You know, that's the experience that you're selling.
Yeah, in our terms, I mean, for me, it's selling the vision of me being there on the wedding day and how it will feel and how it will impact the day.
It's like they put it on. It's like, I can see that at my wedding now. And I see all those people, for me, all those people up having fun, having a great time. Wow, that is not a boring wedding. We want that experience, and that's the person who's going to deliver it.
There's some sort of psychology to it because there's a deeper part, like your emotional part of your brain is deeper level than your logical, so the emotion overrides the logic.
Well, yeah, but they use the emotion and logic to make a purchase, don't they? So they justify with logic, but they buy with emotion.
Yeah, so that's the idea. Is that you're getting it on an emotional level, so that the price, is a bit out of budget, but sod it. Yeah. And that's where you want to be striving for, and at the end of the day.
Yeah, so going back to the ghosting thing, if you can create the desire, you know, throughout the process, them wanting to book you, I think creating the desire as well is actually getting to them first, getting on the phone with them, creating a connection. They're going to be more in tune with you, aren't they?
That they have genuinely got your email. It's not gone into spam or somewhere. Then the best way to make sure that they reply is to have that desire and stand out and be the top person. And yeah, obviously the budget's a big factor. If it if it's double the price of their budget or triple the price of their budget, then the experience matters less.
Yeah,
in general, but for a lot of, you know, in a lot of cases, that kind of desire will outweigh the cost. And I think if you can get that right, then you're certainly going to get ghosted less. Having said all that, there is still times when you're going to get ghosted.
There is, and just know that is part of the business sometimes.
It's part of it.
So and I think you need to, it's generating enough really inquiries.
Get in your head, and you can kind of get, I go through this all the time, like mini crises where I'm like, I've not had an inquiry for a week, or no one's replied to my inquiries for the last five that I've sent out. I've been ghosted by everyone. Is it the price? Do I need to drop my prices? And the amount of times, especially this year, because it's quieter for everyone, and it's nice to hear that everyone's in the same boat, because if I hadn't heard that, I'd be panicking and going, maybe I do need to drop my prices, cost of living. And
I think generally it's never the prices, you know, and I always stay true to that, because I get so many people at my weddings that say, I'm not charging enough after the wedding. You know, you're not charging enough. I think I charge, you know, a great fee, and I'm happy to get that. And I think I've got a good balance with it. So I think generally it's not the price. It's either you've not communicated effectively, you've not created enough desire in your couple, and you've not connected with them on a personal level. I think those are the reasons why you wouldn't get the book.
Right, everything that we're talking about is relevant, because the responses we had on Instagram that were saying, can you, you know, and the people that struggle with ghosting, oftentimes they won't be doing all of these things that we're discussing. Not all of them. They might be doing one or two, but not all of them, and not doing them well enough. And it's not just that, you know, that's the nature of the audience now. And it's not just because your email, you're with Gmail and not Hotmail. And oftentimes it is just because you're not doing it right and you're not communicating right and setting yourself up. So,
yeah. And I think it's having all those pillars to your business, isn't it? You know, great branding, active socially, great portfolio, great testimonials, you know, your marketing, whatever you do, just lots of different legs to your table of your marketing business.
It's important to say that even after all that, it still happens, and just move on and not worry about it. And the idea is to generate enough of an inquiry stream so that inevitably 10% whatever do ghost you, you've still got all these other inquiries, and you just, the more inquiries you can keep bringing in via SEO, networking, awards, fairs, whatever your game is, you need to keep your inquiry stream coming in. Because if you've only got 10 inquiries coming in a month and you get ghosted by two or three of them, then that's a big hit.
I think you need
to be coming in.
Yeah. I think you need to go for as many fails or as many no's as you possibly can, because the more fails and the more no's, you're going to get some yeses mixed in with them.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Where's the line of pestering? So yes, you've been ghosted. Yes, you follow up on WhatsApp. Yes, you reply a few weeks later just to check in, and you do the whole like someone else is inquiring. You're still getting ghosted at that point.
Forget it. Because you don't want to come across desperate. You've given them ample chance to book you. They're not going to book you. If they were going to book you or arrange a meeting, they'd have done it by now. So I think the good thing is by then, they still might have liked you on your Facebook or your Instagram and be following along. Mm. They might be ghosting you. Perfect story. I was ghosted last year. Did the usual follow-up. Somebody else asked for your day, or I can't remember what it was, but it was something. And I was completely forgotten about it. However, they followed me on social media, and we did actually happen to have a few mutual friends as well. Mm-hmm. 6 months later, might have been even longer, I did a wedding for a couple. And this couple just so happens to be friends with the person who sent me an email and ghosted me. I did that wedding. The following day, that couple got back to me and said, oh, I replied with you last year. I sent an email last year regards to your wedding stuff, and I'm just wondering if we can kind of pick it back up. And I was like, I wonder why. So I did their friend's wedding.
Yeah.
And then, of course, their friend was shouting about me on social media the day after the wedding. Oh my God, Brad Howard Wing. I did a little video and I tagged them in it, which then that couple got to see. All of a sudden, that desire was ignited. Oh my God, that guy. I was probably maybe out of their budget when they first inquired. They've seen me do my thing at the friend's wedding. I smashed the roof off. It was unbelievable. They thought, shit, we need him now.
And this is the lesson there, is to always be active on social media, and you're with your posting and your networking and attending affairs and being busy at weddings, because you can get an inquiry, you can reply to them, they go, okay, it was this much, and they put a pin in it. And then 6 months later, they're still seeing you all the time. And it's just that little, like, you're just staying in the back of the mind. And then,
but you know, sometimes it's like they need validation from somebody else, because you can talk to them about what you can do for their wedding. Sometimes they won't do it, they'll see somebody else, their friends use me. Oh, God, I'll get back in touch now.
Another advocate for networking, because I've had someone's recommended me, or they've heard about me somewhere, whatever. I've had an inquiry through their friend, say, and then a month later, I got ghosted, or the conversation went dead. And then a month later, their photographer that they've booked has recommended me, and then the venue recommends. And so that the more places that they then start to get to hear about me, or then more friends of theirs in their circle have used me. And then it's like, oh, yeah, okay, maybe this guy is.
You know what's been a good one for me?
Is the guy.
You know what's been a good one for me? Hairdressers. I've had it before where people inquire, I've not heard back. A few months later, they've got back in touch. Oh, I was at my hairdresser. My hairdresser was at a wedding that you did, like the week before.
Uh-huh.
And she said how amazing you were and stuff. And yeah, can we arrange a meeting?
It's amazing where they come from, isn't it? That's obviously quite a local thing, but...
Well, no, but my hairdresser's in Manchester from. Or wherever.
Yeah, yeah.
Or the Lake District, or...
Yeah.
It's so, yeah, you're right. Keep the networking up. Keep your socials busy. I think we've covered a lot on the ghost insider, but it's I hope we've given, you know, some, I mean, we're just talking about our experiences and how we've overcome things in the past and what we would do to try and help overcome, you know, getting ghosted. So I think everything we've talked about there is going to be helpful for people listening, don't you?
Yeah.
You'll definitely take one or two things from it, and you might even do it or try one of the things we've mentioned, and it might work for you. And we really hope it does. If it does, let us know, leave a comment or somewhere, or let us know.
Good chat
that. Good chat.
Oh, that was helpful.
Oh, honestly, yeah, I think
we've covered it, and it's not an exact science, but and it's still, you're never going to eradicate it.
But, you know, I just think you learn, don't you, over the years and years and years, if you think, actually, I found a little tip there or a little tweak that got that drew a reply from a couple that actually led on to their wedding, and their wedding was amazing. And I'm so glad I did that little thing to make them reply, because their wedding was unbelievable and they were so pleased with what the service that I provided.
I know it works, what we've talked about, because I've booked plenty of weddings in the past where I've only got them to commit after I've chase them up 2-3 weeks later, or doing the WhatsApp one that I only started doing that after we spoke with Jebson on our podcast. The instant WhatsApp follow-up, I have had a few replies. Oh yeah, your email did go in our spam. I'm so glad you messaged. So it does, these things do work. So yeah, you know,
I think the last tip though, when you touched on it there, I always do this, go back over the last month and have a look at all the email inquiries you've got and replies.
Certainly the ones that you'd really liked, you know, when they come
in. Yeah, and just follow up.
Inquiries that you're like, oh, I'd love to get that one. I hope they reply.
Yeah, just follow up, because people might be on holiday. There might be another reason. And then because you're outside, out of mind, because you've not followed up, they might have been seen somewhere else or been recommended and booked something else. But if you can follow up, I've definitely done this before. Oh God, of course, yeah. Well, we're just putting the planning on hold because we've had this to do.
People are
back on it now. Thanks for getting back in touch with me. Let's arrange a meeting.
I think it's really easy to take it personally, but people are busy. People have lives, young kids. What, you know, certainly the target audience that we've got, people in the like around the age of 30.
Yeah,
might have young kids.
Young. Oh, I thought you said that.
that's young, is it not?
Yeah, of course it is. Yeah. Of course. I thought you were thinking something else.
So you know, like. I mean, people like myself, early 30s, couple of kids, young kids, and life's busy. And sometimes you get the email, you might read it whilst you're out and about, and then that notification's gone then. So it gets buried in your, and you just forget. And so,
or you might a week later set some time for wedding planning and then get back on
with
it.
The best of intentions, people do just forget. And so they probably do appreciate that little follow up. But I think, you know, the people that, are killing it, the people that are marketing well and branding themselves well and are generating enough inquiries in the month. It's a numbers game. If you generate 100 inquiries a month and you know you're going to book a certain amount of them, and you've got the booking amount of bookings that you need, you're not worrying about ghost people ghosting. You're not worrying about all those other ones that ghosted you because you've got your number of bookings that you wanted.
Yeah.
So I think it's more the people that are starting out or the people that are struggling that suddenly go, oh, I'm a bit worried. I get ghosted quite a lot.
Yeah.
And it's, you've got to look inward and go like, what am I actually doing?
How can I
do it better?
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, hopefully, you know, for what we've discussed there has some tips in.
Well, listen, if this has happened to you and you do use any of these tips and it works for you, just let us know, guys. We'd love to hear your feedback.
Thanks for listening, everyone. See you on the next one.
Yeah, on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just me and thee this week.
Yeah, we have got some guests lined up.
It's quite nice to do the odd one, just us, isn't it? Well, obviously, it's nice to hear from experts.
I think it's good. And I think
I like learning from the interviewees, but it's nice to chat.
It is. I also think it was good to answer the question that, you know, that people are asking us, because it cropped up so many times about ghosting. And it's a bit of a hot topic, isn't it? Ghosting. So I think it was about time we addressed it and how we would deal with it. So hope you enjoyed that one, guys, and you got something from it.
Thanks for listening. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. So thanks so much for listening. We really hope that you found this episode insightful, inspirational. And if you did enjoy that, then please consider subscribing to us wherever you get your podcasts, iTunes, Spotify. We're a Think Wedding Business.
We're also on YouTube and Instagram. So if you want to watch us, you can go over to YouTube and find us at Think Wedding Business. And the same over on Instagram to keep up with all of our future episodes.
We'd really love you to subscribe and join us on this journey. And if you do like this content, please consider giving us a 5-star review. It just helps us get seen and helps spread the word.
So thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.